Oh, the blessed revelation of knowing Jesus Christ, a time that brings us joy beyond compare. How the heart was overwhelmed with eternal saving grace, this new life you couldn't wait to share. You took your eyes off Jesus, something stole your heart. Then you left your first love, now you've drifted far apart. God says, my child, I'm still here for you. I long to be with you again. You have wandered from my presence with your heart controlled by sin. Do you remember? I will forgive you and bring you joy and peace within. Will you come back to me? I still love you. Come back to me. Come back to me. Remember how you hungered for more preaching of God's word, hanging on to every word you heard. Joy was in your heart as you read God's word each day, treasure hunt to know God's perfect way. You set aside the Bible, you listened to your heart. God was not your counsel, now you've drifted far apart. Praise the Lord, He's ever faithful, never changing in His care. He's the same today and evermore. Others may forsake you and truly break your heart. Rejoice to know your God is always there. Look unto your Jesus, give Him back your heart. Let Him be your first love, then never more to part. God says, my child, I'm still here for you. I long to be with you again. You have wandered from my presence with your heart controlled by sin. Do you remember? I will forgive you and bring you joy and peace within. Will you come back to me? I still love you. Come back to me. Come back to me.
I got through that. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for the opportunity. I wrote that song on behalf, really, as far as a burden for my little brother that just passed away last summer, because as he was so miserable, I don't think he really caught the concept that we serve a forgiving God, the God of second chances, third chances, 535,000 chances for most of us. And God is just open arm, waiting for the backslider, the wayward, to come unto Him. Kind of like the prodigal father story. The pastor last week in the nursing home preached that again. And I usually park on the brother that stayed at home and have a message entitled, Unfair. Here I've been faithful, and this guy comes back, you have a party hearty for him. Unfair. Let's say it together, boys and girls. Unfair. And even in faithfulness, we become so unfaithful in our attitudes, maybe not our actions, but folks, the right perspective brings forth the right choice to be faithful to God and do things His way. Now, I'm going to preach a message that's just about getting out of the habit of trusting in God. So it's not a passage you probably do your devotions in every day, but it's a powerful passage to say the least. Turn to 2 Chronicles. That, of course, is in the Old Testament. That's not 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, specifically chapter 14. In chapter 14, here's the testimony we should all cry out for. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 2, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." Now, what I'm going to show you is a contrast on why he was dubbed or labeled with that testimony presentation before God, but then how he blew it. And folks, you know, we're all just like this far from blowing it. When we again lean to our own understandings and don't trust in God, and we think we got it under control, we think we got it figured out, worked out, that's when we start going back, when we should be pressing on. So I want to challenge you with this. I hope it's encouraging, convicting, and again, very helpful to your Christian life. Let's go ahead and pray together, then we'll look further into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful snow. Lord, you don't make any mistakes. You brought the ones here who are, again, Lord, looking to be fed, and Lord, are, again, in need of more truths of Scripture, just like everybody really is. But Lord, thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for them understanding how blessed and important this truly is. And God, fill their cups. Just fill them up. God, honor their faithful choice. And as pastors mentioned, Lord, we want to get home safely. But Lord, we want to get a good feeding before we head home. So Lord, just work in our hearts. God, just give us a light bulb click on in our minds and hearts concerning your truths. And Lord, help us to respond, even with this crowd, to God, what you have for us here. We just thank you and praise you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I told Pastor, I said, I never thought I'd get snowed out in April as far as revival. You know, I thought it'd be cold up here, maybe rather cool, but I didn't know we had 6 inches of snow in one drop plop, and then a thunderstorm following that that'll bring like 14 inches of ice before morning will dawn upon us. But you know what? The key word for any ministry, you know what the key word is, folks? Let me say it. Flexibility. Let's say it together. Flexibility. You got to be ready for anything in ministry opportunities and being ministered unto. Now, what was it that gave this guy a right testimony before a holy God? Well, the first thing, and folks, it never works right unless we do this. He dealt with known sin. That's what it teaches in the verses that follow. Look down with me in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 3. It says, "For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images and the kingdom was quiet before him." Folks, when we're dirtied up with sin, we're not usable for the will and working of God. When we're dirtied up by sinful, flesh-filled choosing, we mess up our receptors, don't we? And we sure blow the very intimate, a wonderful fellowship that God longs to have with us 24/7 every day that we're in existence here. You want to get right, you want to stay right, deal with known sin. Now, it's a small crowd, but can I have a big amen, please? Amen. Okay, the second thing, he put up his guard as such for spiritual protection and making right choices. They build up the walls. And we got to do that spiritually, but they did it physically here. It says, "He built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and had no war in those years." Why? Because the Lord had given him rest. So they are in a peace-filled time as such, but we all understand that doesn't last long as far as the devil's working's concerned. The devil is constantly looking to kick the slats out of your fence to get you again distracted and distrayed and deterred and all those D words. But look what the right response is again from a guy who's pleasing in God's sight. It says in verse 9, "There came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots came to Marshall." It's kind of like St. Paul, Minnesota's and Minneapolis is going to come and put a hurting on Spooner. You know, these folks are doomed as doom can be unless God intervenes. So what happened? Asa goes out and sets the battle in array and all that. But here's the key factor for his victory. But folks, listen, the key factor for our victory. No matter how big the battle, no matter how wicked and powerful the enemy may be, this is the key for victory. Look what he did. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help." Would you underscore that? We think we're bothering God sometimes because we ask him to help us. We ask him for power. We ask him for the victory that he's trying to bring to begin with, folks. So understand and underscore this. It's nothing with God to help. That's in verse 11 of the same chapter. Then it goes on to say, whether with many or them that have no power. And then he cries out again, help! Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. What is the factor, folks, we forget most of the time? The battle is the Lord's. Now, I know you know that academically, but especially for us men, we're so used to fixing what's broken, we think we're supposed to do that spiritually. Now, we have our part of faithful endeavor and activity, but folks, you got to remember, the captain of your faith warned you over and over again, it's my battle. Now, I'm going to empower you. I want to use you in the midst of this, but the battle is the Lord's. And boy, did God bring great victory here. It's like God went boink on the enemy. You know, God wants to boink your enemy. And it's nothing, folks, for God to bring forth this kind of victory, this kind of working here as well as in your life. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how, again, frustrating and the circumstances are overwhelming. God is able to carry you and me through. It says in the next verse, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. They went hiding silver away and got out of this place because of the demonstration of the power of God. So wouldn't you like to stop there? I mean, talk about a shouting story, a great testimony. But as God does in the Word of God, He shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let me show you the ugly part. And this is where it goes to a negative testimony, from positive to negative. And this guy gets out of the habit of trusting his God. It says in chapter 16, there's promises, instruction here in chapter 15. Read it later on. But go down with me to chapter 16. And look what happens in this situation. It says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha the king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, roadblock, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa the king of Judah. Well, Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, let's be pals, let me buy your protection. Well, there's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Well, hey, Ben-Hadad must have been an easy take as far as being bought, because look how he responds. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto Asa, sent the captains of the armies of the cities of Israel, and he smote these guys, just kaboom, kaboom. And again, the problem's gone, right? No, he's got himself in a worse problem. Why is that? Because he's trusting in his reasoning. He's trusting in his little plot and plan of life instead of doing what brought him victory to begin with, and glory and honor to God. And folks, that only comes when you trust and obey God and let Him do a work in and through your life and let Him receive the honor and glory. How do I know that? Well, as Paul Harvey says, I've read the rest of the story. He doesn't say that anymore except on recordings. Look down at verse 7. It says, at that time, Hanani. Now, folks, I think, now wouldn't this be cool? To have little Hananias running all over the churches. You know, when you get married, and it'll come sooner than later, hopefully, and girls, one of these days, you know, God knows what He's doing here. But when you have a child, at least name one child Hanani. Yeah, it's just, that's kind of cool. Probably never happened. But look on in the passage. It says, at that time, Hanani, the seer... I wouldn't have any grandkids that name either. It says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Now wake up, smell the coffee, boy. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. Now, people, if God's messenger came to you, whether it's in the shape of this man, and a nice shape he has, or in the shape of this man, you know what? That's of God to help you know what's right, to make decisions to please God. If you were told you blew it, if you're tender to God, wouldn't you want to fix what's broken? Wouldn't you be thankful for the guy, the messenger, or whoever God sent to your path to help fix you and be pleasing in God's sight again? Boy, Asa didn't do that. Folks, it seems as though when we get in flesh mode, We just get ourselves in a deeper hole and a deeper hole and a deeper hole. And boys, this guy burying himself. Look on, I'm going to skip verse 9. I'll come back to that. But look down at verse 10. It says, and Asa was wroth. Now, we don't use wroth real often, do we, folks? How about royally bent out of shape? He is ticked off. That's really what's happening. It says, and Asa was wroth with the seer, this messenger. And he threw him in the clink, folks. He put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him of this thing. What thing? What? He was told the truth. He was confronted and challenged concerning his carnal, ungodly, unbiblical, displeasing choices of life. And he gets ticked. He reacts in the flesh and throws him in jail. And not only, he didn't just take it out on, you know, this messenger. He took it out on people around him. It says, and Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Have you seen that in a local church setting? Don't point if it's happened here and you know who it is. But when one guy who refuses to get right with God, he not only takes it out on the preacher, but he's just an attitude toward everybody else around him. That's just not for guys. That happens with ladies too. Because you don't get your way and you know people are telling you that you're not as spiritual as you need to be. And instead of getting right, you get worse. And again, you get in a deeper hold of attitude and presentation all in the name of serving Jesus Christ. Well, what happens? This guy didn't seem to catch on to what was happening and get right with God according to this passage. It says in verse 12, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and in his diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, people, I'm all for the wonderments of medical whatevers today. It scares me when I watch commercials, though. Take this medication. Now, it'll fix what your problem is, but you'll die of something else. Isn't that what you feel like when you watch these things? You know, now you won't have a runny nose anymore, but your leg will fall off, okay? Your gizzard will fall out of your body. I'm going, you know what? I think I'll just have the runny nose. I think I'll just have headaches instead of losing an arm. And that's what it seems like, but you know what? I want to have whatever God provides through the medical profession. I want to use that for my wife, my grandkids, and for me. But you know what? I want to go to God first. I even in the midst of that doctor care, I want to make sure that God has an opportunity to bring deliverance over even physical stuff like God's able to do. But I won't be stupid enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to take what God provides either. As God, again, entrusts that gift or that understanding. You know, folks, the only reason they're smart is not because of what they perceive to be a God complex sometimes. It's because God has revealed that stuff to them. Be cautious, be careful, be a good steward, but always go to God first and let God have an opportunity to bring deliverance without even any help like that. But don't be afraid of what God provides either. Now, I left a verse out, and I'm going quick here tonight because of the weather, and you can thank me afterwards. But I want to show you, I think, the wonderful promise for all of us to claim in this passage. Because, folks, this is not just a rare thing. All of us get in the habit of looking to ourselves instead of, say, looking unto Jesus and trusting and obeying Him. I don't care whether it's a preacher or how long you've been saved. It's a difficulty for all of us. Now, here's the promise I want you to take personally. Look at chapter 16 and verse 9. It says here, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's He doing? To show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. People, I never want to preach without the power of God. Been there, done that, haven't you? Have you ever been in the pulpit or doing something for Christ where you say, I got it? Now, you wouldn't be dumb enough to say that, but in your attitude, you've been doing this a long time. You know, I've been saved longer than most of these people around here, and you're foolish enough to take this venture, this endeavor of faithfulness in your own strength. I don't know about preacher, but I've done that more times than I'd like to admit. It's the most lonely, empty, horrible feeling I have ever, ever had. That's when I'm down here and the singing's going on. I'm saying, oh God, don't let me mess this up. God, fill me with Your power. God, don't let me do this in cruise control. Help me, God, to be filled with Your power, guided by Your hand. And God, don't let me do this on my own. You know, I don't just need that when I preach the Word of God. I need that in parenting. I need that as a husband so I don't again take control and start trusting in my flesh and doing my thing instead of being faithful to God's will and working. What is the key factor for the power of God on your life? Well, look back at the verse. It says, for God is looking. He's checking us out. And He wants to give us that strength, that wherewithal, but He's looking for a perfect heart. Now, folks, not a perfect person, because that's impossible. You know, you can never be perfect. You can be mature, and that's what we're dealing with. You can be dedicated, but until you put off this old corruptible body and put on, you know, incorruption in Christ Jesus, you're going to struggle with your flesh just like the Apostle Paul. I was discussing that last week with one of the members at the church at the revival, and he says, you know, we're in a heap of trouble. I said, what do you mean? He says, if Paul had trouble with his flesh, as godly, as brilliant, as faithful, man, can we go anywhere close to being honorable and pleasing to God? You know, it is something to ponder, but that pondering should bring you to more prayer and more dependence on what God is looking to bring to your life, because your flesh is weak and so is mine, but God's able to again give us the wherewithal of faithfulness. So I want the power of God on my life no matter what I'm doing, but the key factor is I got to let God have my heart and have my heart all the time. Have you changed there? Remember in the song, you know, it's so easy to start looking again to your own strength, and you start going back and back and further the controlling hand of God. And again, that situation, that whatever in life steals your heart, and no longer does God have control of you. Now, folks, I would love to see the revival of God break forth in this place this week like this church has never seen. I don't care if we have 15 people or we have 1,500. If folks will just give God their heart and keep that control in His care, let Him have what belongs to Him. And when you plug into that relationship in such a fashion, then God says, I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you the wherewithal to keep on keeping on and do a whole bunch for my honor and glory. And as we mentioned in Sunday school, to bring forth much fruit. What's the key factor? A heart that's perfect toward God. So here's how it used to be in chapter 14 again. Asa did that was right, which was in the eyes of the Lord his God. Man, he dealt with known sin. He again built up his walls as far as, you know, having the rest that's found through the power and working of God. But along the journey, as he supposedly got more mature, you know, more settled in his responsibilities as a king, a servant of God, I think he started feeling his oats as such. He started thinking of himself more than he ought. And he forgot that, hey, this is all because of the goodness of God. This is all because God has again chosen me to do this job, and He gives me what it takes to be faithful unto Him. Folks, the good part of what we're doing is God knows how weak we are. But we've got to wake up to the fact on how powerful and wonderful and perfect our God is, and be smart enough to have a heart that's perfect toward Him. Bow your heads and hearts. I'm done. So soon? Yeah, I feel like Brent Stavinsky here. But you know what, folks? This is a message we don't have to miss or bypass in our lives spiritually. Now, we're going to have an invitation. You can come forward if you like to, or you can just pray right there in your seat, however God directs you. We're not going to sing. I just want you to think through this testimony. Faithful here, unfaithful there. Could that happen to us people? Like I said, in a heartbeat, with a wrong choice, looking to the wrong place, following the wrong things. Maybe somewhere along this journey, you've started trusting in you more than trusting my Jesus. No longer is your heart in His care, in His control. Well, I got an idea. Confess it for what it is. It's sinful, ungodly choosing. And choose to have that heart that's perfect toward Him, and then say, God, fill me with your power so I can get it done for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet, please? We'll just have an invitation opportunity. We won't go long. But again, don't miss what God has for you, even in the challenge tonight. Heavenly Father, help us here. Lord, this is a small thing, but God, you're looking at a small group, but God, you're looking to do a great big work in all of our hearts. And Lord, this is just a problem, not just with Asa. This is what I struggle with all the time too. You know, I've done this for 30 some years, and you know, I've been saved a long while, and boy, I know a lot of scripture. I got a lot of things working and figured out, but oh God, I don't know all I need to know. I'm not doing all, God, you'd have me to do. And Lord, I start trusting in Mike Maynor more than trusting in you. Oh God, forgive me when I go there and do that. And God, protect me from myself. Bring me conviction, God, that brings me on my face before you and gives me understanding how worthless I am apart from your intervening power. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's gotten that habit of doing their own thing instead of plugged into the power source for your working, God, help them get it right so they're not powerless, so they're not dysfunctional in their service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, this is going to be a great week. I don't care if it snows all week. Lord, you're going to do a great work in our midst. And God, help us to avail our minds and heart to that working and God, not miss out on a drop of what you're trying to bring to our hearts and lives all week long. But Lord, even here tonight, God, help us to be tender. Help us to be yielded. And God, even as the song sang tonight, if we're far from you, you got your arms wide open, you're saying, come back to me. God, help us to be smart enough to buy that up even here tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, our instruments play, and God works in your heart. You want to come and kneel at the altar or even come and kneel at the front seat or whatever. But as God works in your heart, let me encourage you to come.